You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Let me give our contact information. We'll go right to our callers. On the web, it's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And via the telephones, resource consultants are standing by. That number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up today is Marge. She's listening in Alberta, Canada. Hi, Marge.
Hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. Thank you for talking to me today.
It's my pleasure.
I started listening to your broadcast. Have recently lost my husband.
Mm.
And I was wondering, when I get to heaven to join him, what will our relationship be like?
Well, it will be better than the best event or time or moment that you can imagine in your earthly relationship. Earth is the breeding colony. Heaven is the homeland. In heaven, we'll no longer be married. But that doesn't mean that your relationship will be less. It will be far eclipsed. You'll have a relationship that is every bit determined by selfless love in every way. So your relationship will be greatly enhanced. What that will represent precisely, the Bible simply does not tell us. That it will be great and glorious, the Bible absolutely assures us, because in heaven there'll be no sin. And again, we will be able to appreciate one another, not just with eros love, but with agape love, with true God's love, which is to say, we'll have perfect fellowship with God and perfect fellowship with one another.
That's wonderful. It's been a real comfort to me since I lost him that I know he's there and that I'm going to be joining him sometime. And since then, I've also been looking for a church.
Hmm.
And where I was thinking of going, apparently the minister is a gay person, and I was wondering if I was right in avoiding that ministry.
Well, I think it's a red flag, and I'll tell you why. The Bible gives us parameters within which to live our lives, and it doesn't do that because God is some kind of a cosmic killjoy, but because God wants our joy to be complete. So if someone says, you know what, I don't really care what God says, it's my opinion or popular or public opinion or political correctness that trumps the Bible, then I think you're on real dangerous footing. Because if the Bible is in fact God's word, which you can demonstrate that it is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, we're far better served living by God's dictates than our own. And that essentially is what repentance is all about. It's doing it God's way rather than doing it our own way. So whatever our proclivities are, God can love us and God can use us, but we cannot say, I don't want to do it God's way, I want to do it my own way. Because once you do that, you're not a shepherd to the flock. You're one that's leading the flock in a direction opposed to God's revealed will.
Thank you very much for your direction and for filling me in about my first question, too. That's very comforting, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, God bless you, Marge. And I've written about this in a book called Afterlife. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. A way that you can get it is on the web at equip.org. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Sheila, Horn Lake, Mississippi. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I got a quick question for you. I was reading in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 6. It talks about the fallen angels and says that they were bound in chains and thrown into darkness. If that's the case, then who are the demons?
Well, this in no way should be used as a pretext for supposing that fallen angels are not here to harass us today. They are. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 6, we are told explicitly to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against principalities and powers of darkness. If we don't put on the full armor of God, we're guaranteed casualties. If we do, then we're invincible in spiritual warfare. The text that you're talking about here is not in any way suggesting, I think, if you take the cloudy, interpret in light of the clear, that demons can't harass us. It is communicating that they have abandoned their state with God. In other words, they had perfect fellowship with God, and they have abandoned that home, and therefore they are now in darkness and bound by everlasting chains. That kind of language is talked about or used with respect to human beings that are bound by the chains of sin. So that kind of language in no way should be taken to mean that they are somehow or other incapacitated from harassing us today.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, and I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you, Sheila. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. Rob next. Listening in Silverdale, Washington. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Hank. Thank you very much for your ministry. We really appreciate you and the folks behind the scenes and all the work that you do.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I need your help and some clarification, please. I hear time and time again how when we pass away as believers, it will be with our Heavenly Father and there will be no more sin. But I'm a little confused because Adam and Eve, in the presence of their Heavenly Father, sinned. And, of course, many other created beings, angels, sinned. And I believe the Bible makes reference to even a third of the heavenly hosts were cast out of heaven. And I have this hope inside of me that once I pass away, that I won't need to worry about the idea of being tempted, even tempting myself. Can you help me clarify, Will there be a possibility of sin in heaven once we pass from this earth and go to the next life with Him, like these other stories in the Bible dictate? Or will there be, in fact, a life full of without sin and no chance of sin in heaven?
Yeah, the Bible's in fact about this, Rob. It says that nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So again, the Bible emphatically communicates that there will be no sin, there'll be no Satan. In other words, there's not going to be any more temptation. So the problem of sin and Satan will forever be resolved when Jesus appears a second time. So there's going to be nothing to tempt us. Not only that, but we'll be actualized in our relationship with Jesus Christ because we're going to see Him face to face. Now, just as it is impossible for one to imagine that they could walk away from the love and grace and goodness that saved them in this life, imagine as the Imago Dei, the image of God, is restored in you. Imagine how impossible it might be with a fully restored relationship to sin. It is completely, 100% impossible. So sin came into the world for a reason, and that is God created human beings, just as He created the angels, with the ability to choose to serve God or reject Him. Without that volition or will, love would be rendered impossible. Love is only love if it is uncoerced. And so God created the potential for evil by giving human beings freedom of choice. We actualize that evil by our choices. Same thing, of course, is true with angels. But that problem of sin will be forever removed when Jesus appears a second time. The Bible, again, is emphatic about that. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Do you have a couple references that I could look up and then just to begin to internalize that would support what you just said, Hank?
Yeah, this is something that I just quoted from and I just turned to in my Bible as well, Revelation chapter 21, where, let me give you a little context for this. John writes, "I didn't see a temple in that city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are his temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there'll be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it." And then what I quoted earlier, "Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." That's the ending to chapter 21.
Okay. Thank you very much, Hank. God bless you. I love you.
Well, thank you so much and appreciate your kind words. Thank you for calling in. Be right back.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Once again, that's equip.org. In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI or simply visit our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Courtney, listening in Townsend, Massachusetts. Hi, Courtney.
Hi. My question is, I just wanted to know if there was any unforgivable sin.
Well, you know, in a biblical context, there is an unforgivable sin, and that unforgivable sin was that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And the reason it was unforgivable is they knew that Jesus Christ was the only one who could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecies. And yet, with premeditation and forethought, on a continuous basis, they attributed the works of Jesus Christ to Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And this, therefore, was considered unforgivable, not because it was an act, but it was a continuous, willful rejection of Jesus Christ, who was the living temple in their midst. They wanted to continue with temple, priest, and sacrifice. In other words, they wanted to continue with their tradition when the ultimate sacrificial lamb now stood before them.
Thank you very much.
So as long as you're in the flesh, you do not have to worry about the unforgivable sin, because you can turn to Jesus Christ and receive him as Savior and Lord. And once you do, he holds you in his hand, and no one will ever pluck you out of his hand.
That's good to know. Thank you very much.
You got it, Courtney. And I'm thinking that I might want to follow up on that somewhat in detail, because this is a question that is so frequently asked on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and stems from the words spoken of by Jesus Christ, to which I just alluded, where Christ says, I tell you the truth, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven either in this age or in the age to come. And as a result of those words, there are so often people who call me on the Bible Answer Man broadcast paralyzed by fear that they may have committed the unforgivable sin. But as I uniformly point out, from a historic perspective, what I just said in answer to Courtney is true. The Pharisees mentioned in Matthew militantly hated Jesus Christ. In fact, they attributed his miracles to Satan. And unlike those who were afraid that they have committed the unforgivable sin, the Pharisees were totally unconcerned about Christ's forgiveness. Instead, with premeditation, with persistence, they willfully blasphemed the Holy Spirit's testimony that Christ was the Son of the living God. So it's crucial to recognize that, as I said to Courtney, the unforgivable sin is not a single act. It's a continuous, ongoing rejection of the grace that could be yours. Now, it's also significant to point out that those who have committed the unpardonable sin have no godly regrets. And Paul explained that in the book of Romans. They not only continue in their evil ways, but approve of others who do so as well. On the other hand, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. Sorrow for sin, the desire for Christ's forgiveness, well, that's proof positive that you have not rejected the Savior of your soul. Never forget, three times Peter denied his Lord with vile oaths, and yet, not only did Christ forgive him, but his confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," became the very cornerstone of the Christian church. One final point before we go back to our callers, and that is the Bible consistently teaches that those who spend eternity separated from God do so because they willingly, knowingly, continuously reject the gospel. And John actually refers to this as the sin that leads to death. And in that sense, those who refuse forgiveness through Christ are going to spend eternity separated from his grace and from his love. But be assured that those who sincerely desire God's forgiveness can be absolutely certain that they're never going to be turned away from his goodness and his grace. I'm reminded of the words, "These things are written that you may know you have eternal life." We can know, not just hope, but know we have everlasting life. John says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know," not hope or wish, but know you have everlasting life. Written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Back to the phone lines, we'll go to Santiago, listening in Tallahassee, Florida. Hi, Santiago.
Hello, Hank, and thank you again for taking my call, and I love the show.
Thank you.
Just wanted to premise it that I am Catholic, and I obviously understand free will as a part of our being made in the image and likeness of God. But in discussing with other groups of Christians, they kind of like grab onto this idea of predestination as being very much a done deal, that God has chosen a certain number of people for salvation, and others are what they call the reprobate. And I'd like to see your take on it. I respect your understanding, and coming from that non-Catholic perspective, I'd like to hear if this is something very common among non-Catholics.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of Christians who are Protestants who hold to a robust view of libertarian freedom, that we have the ability to act and to act otherwise. And as you've correctly pointed out, there are those within Protestant circles that hold to this notion that God has created some who are destined for glory and others who are destined for damnation. In fact, this is the very thing taught by John Calvin very explicitly. And in his words, he makes no qualifications or has no qualms about saying that. He says, and I'm quoting here, that God not only foresaw the fall of the first man and in him the ruin of his posterity, but also at his own pleasure arranged it. And then he goes on to say that Paul teaches us, speaking about the apostle, that the ruin of the wicked is not only foreseen by the Lord, but also ordained by his counsel and his will. Not only the destruction of the wicked is foreknown, but that the wicked themselves have been created for this very end and that they may perish. So the view that is held here is a view that's variously called compatibilistic freedom or circumstantial freedom, which is to say that God creates some people in such a way that they can respond to his goodness and grace, and he creates other people in such a way that they cannot. In fact, the more correct way of putting that is he creates all people in such a way that they cannot respond to his goodness and his grace, but only regenerates some. And those some who are regenerated are called the elect. The non-elect, however, are not regenerated, are not rewired, and therefore they cannot respond to the gospel or the wooing of the Holy Spirit any more than a cow can fly. Or, to use another metaphor, they don't have ears, and therefore they can't hear the gospel. So that is a view that's held. I don't hold that view myself. I hold to a robust view of libertarian freedom. I think that is what the Bible in context teaches. Although I have many friends and people that I highly respect and admire that have the opposite view. My dad, when he was alive, had the opposite view, and we debated this many long nights. And I think biblically Christ is the elect one, as Ephesians makes clear, and that by being in Christ, we are, by virtue of that, elect. So whether we're Jew or Greek, whether male or female, whether slave or free, if we are in Christ, we are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. Going to have to leave it at that. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answerman Broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answerman Broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many. The gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.